Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John? We're going to fall back to John's Gospel and look at a little bit of his word as we take just a small break from 1 John. We'll be headed back into 1 John, that second and third chapter, very soon. But I have a little brief series that I want to share with you as we enter a new year. There was a doctor who walked into a patient's room, and he said, "I just got to tell you, you have cancer." The guy said, "What?" He says, "You have cancer." And he said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "It's not a very good cancer either. It's a bad one." And he goes, "Well, doctor, why in the world are you so excited?" He said, "We've got a cure." Boy, that changes the news, doesn't it? If this was a patient's room, pretend you were the only one in there this morning and that I, as the physician, came in and I'm telling you, you have cancer. And you do. It's called sin. Amen? But there's a cure. Oh, isn't God good? He has the cure. There is a terrible and ugly word that plagues those of us who even know that we are in Christ Jesus. Guilt is an ugly word, amen? And it is an even uglier feeling. Guilt is an awful feeling. And as a pastor, I have counseled with many who have struggled with guilt over their past, over sin. And I've counseled with some who have never seemed to be able to experience abundant life in Christ Jesus because they are living and they are paying attention to the gnawing at their heart of guilt and shame. Guilt is an ugly word, but there's a cure. Friend, if you are living with guilt, I want you to know that God has provided the recipe for a cure, and a full cure. So many are struggling with something from their past that has weighed them down. And you and I and many folks that I have counseled with need to know the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems that there are so many that just can't seem to get past the guilt and the shame and the condemnation over things that they've done. Can you relate? Listen, can we not all relate? Every one of us, because we stand guilty before God. Let me remind you of something Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus Christ told his disciples, and thus he tells us, he says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth." Now stop. He says, "Then you will know the truth." What follows or precedes, should I say, the then? He says, "Then you will know the truth." What precedes that you knowing the truth? What? Right there it says, "If you hold to my teaching." He says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth." And then that wonderful phrase he says, "And the truth," say it with me, "will set you free." Friend, as we close out a year, 2023, I know of no greater need in America. I know no greater need in our own county, in our city, in our church, than the need for forgiveness and rightness before God, which cures guilt and shame. Would you pray with me as I pray for you? Lord, your word tells us that as we hold to your teaching, we will know the truth, and your truth will set us free. God, I pray this morning for every person within hearing of my voice. God, would you Give them a freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation because they come to you and they give themselves to you, and in your forgiveness and in your restoration and in your power and your strength, you give them freedom, Father. Lord, this is our prayer, that you free those hearts and minds that are laden with guilt. Speak to their hearts. Would you pray with me right now? Friend, listen, instead of hearing me pray, would you pray right now? Pray this prayer. Lord God, would you send your Holy Spirit to speak to my heart? God, would you help set me free? God, would you let your wonderful truth sink into my heart and mind? God, help me to enjoy a full and guilt-free relationship with you, my Lord and my God. Oh, that should be each of our prayer, each one of us. And Lord, this we pray in the name of our precious Savior and friend. Wow. Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Folks, I am convinced that many Christians are living in defeat. They're not being used of God. They're not living in a glorious joy in Christ because they're suffering from something that is eating them up from the inside out, and that's guilt. We all know what it feels like to be guilty. It's like a heavy backpack laden down with things that are not only not useful, but detrimental to us. There are so many people that are carrying a load of guilt each and every day of their life. They awaken with it, and they try to fall asleep with it. We all know what it feels like to struggle with sin. And maybe you're struggling with a sin that keeps you in shame and in guilt. Maybe it is something from your past. Perhaps you are suffering from something that is accusing you, that is condemning you, and Satan throws it up into your face every single day so that you don't have victory in Christ. Maybe it's a past affair. Perhaps it was an abortion. Perhaps it is an addiction to drugs or to porn. Maybe it's something that I've not mentioned at all, but it is something that has latched onto you and you are not having any freedom in Christ because it plagues you every day. Maybe your guilt is from a lie that you told that hurt somebody deeply in the past, or perhaps from selfishness or self-centeredness that destroyed a marriage or family in the past. Let me ask you, have you asked God for forgiveness? Did you repent of that sin? And yet it seems that you just could not lose that guilty conscience. Is it still with you? Do you feel like your guilt still haunts you ever? Like the doctor who entered the room, I have good news. God's word tells us that God does not want you to live a life consumed with guilt. He doesn't want you there. He said, Pastor, I've never seen you talk about guilt and sin and smile. Well, listen, there's reason to smile. There's a cancer that's killing us, but there's a cure. And all you have to do is claim it in Christ Jesus. Surrender to the Lord. Now you might say, Pastor, you just have no idea what my past was like. And you would live in guilt too if you did some of the stupid things that I've done in my life. Perhaps I would. But you know this? There is no ailment in this life except that it is common to man. And we suffer the sin debt before God, but it was paid by Jesus Christ, and he wants you to have a freedom from that debt. He wants you to have a freedom from that load that you're carrying around. You say, Pastor, I'm going to tell you again. You don't understand because you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But God does. God does know. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 tells us this. He says that there is nothing on this earth that he does not know. There is no creature that is hidden from God. He knows everything you've done. And you're going, that doesn't make me feel any better. Maybe you think that scripture is very scary because you're thinking, well, God has seen what I've done and he'll never forgive me. I am going to have to walk around with guilt and shame forever. Not true. You may have that verse thrown up in your face by Satan, but don't you dare forget the rest of God's word that says that if you know the truth will set you free. A lot of people have that fear because they don't really know how much God loves them. If you only knew how much God loves you, you would not worry about whether God could love you. Listen, God desires for you to be more like him. God desires for you to become more like him. God desires for you to walk in fellowship with him. He does not want you to be buried in shame because of your past. That's not God who's bringing that to you. If you have truly repented of that sin, if you have asked God to forgive you of that sin, it is not God that's throwing it in your face. That's Satan. Satan doesn't ever want you to remember that you have been forgiven. God does want you to remember. You want to hear something? Here's the truth that you need to remember. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew that you and I would struggle with sin our entire life. He knew that we would fall short of his perfection, and yet he died for us anyway. God, thank you. When we turn away from our sin, when we ask God for forgiveness, he forgives us completely and fully. Here's what I want to move to in this next thought. Would you stop believing Satan's lies? Would you listen instead to the truth of God's word? And would you quit listening to what Satan has to say about your life and listen to what God has to say about your life? Where you and I get tripped up is this. We believe the enemy. We listen to the enemy. And even if we don't believe it, it still clouds us with doubt. He cleverly disguises his lies to be like an accusation to us that we actually would hear. You know what he says? Satan comes to us. And in those times where we think, oh, I want to draw closer to God. Oh, I want to hear God. Oh, I'm trying to get my prayer life right. I'm trying to read the word. I'm trying to memorize the word. And when you start doing that, you know what he does? He brings back your past transgressions. He throws them in your face and says, how do you like that? He says, you know what? Do you remember that? Remember when you did this? God will never forgive you for that. Is that what God's word says? Did you know that there is only one unpardonable sin, and that is to reject God's Holy Spirit? That's the only unpardonable sin that there is. When you reject God, he likes to throw them in our face, doesn't he? How about this one? Maybe you get to that point where you read the scripture and it says that if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you remember that and you say, oh, thank you. And then Satan throws it back and he says, oh, he might forgive you, but he never forgets. He's always going to hold it over your head. That's not what God's word says. Or how about this one? You think God loves you? God can never love somebody as rotten as you are. Thank you, God, for your word that says that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Let's get something straight right here, right now. God not only will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness, if you ask God for forgiveness, if you will repent of your sins, God not only forgives, but the truth is he also wipes away your sin and he remembers it no more. Listen to Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You will not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. What does he hurl into the depths of the sea? You? No. You're what? Our sin, our transgressions, all of our guilt can be thrown away. It can be dashed into the deepest of the seas. But Pastor, what if I've asked God to forgive me, but I still feel guilty? That's what this sermon, little short sermon series, is going to be about. How do I get to that point of victory in my life instead of living with guilt? First of all, there are three truths that I want you to see. We're not going to go through all three of them this morning, just one. Truth number one, the judge of the entire universe is God. The truth number two, the enemy fights to keep us feeling guilty. He wants you to feel bad. And third, God is for you, not against you. We're going to deal with the first one today, and we're going to come to those other two in a week ahead. So truth number one, understand this and know this for a fact. The judge of the entire universe is God. Not Satan. Not you. Not the person who doesn't like you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What if the person that you treated the worst in this life was your judge? We've treated God pretty bad. But God the Father says that he is the judge and he does not look to us and our abilities, but to his Son. We're going to talk about that. God sits on his throne and he rules over every life that has ever been born. And do you know what he ruled about your life? The moment that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the moment that you asked Christ to come into your heart and life and you received him as Lord and Savior, God slammed down his gavel and he said, not guilty. Doggone it, I thought I might see some Baptist dance today. You know, I think God has a sense of humor. And when we get up there, and he's going to say, well, why didn't you do that? And you say, well, Lord, I didn't think I was supposed to do that. He said, what about this or what about that? Now, I'm not saying they ought to run around like David did with his clothes off. But you know what? If you're by yourself and the Lord says, dance before me, get with it. This probably not the appropriate place. But you know what? I am so thankful that God sees me as his little child. You know, there have just been times that God has been so good to me, I could not sit still. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Thank you that through Jesus Christ, you made the decree. You brought down the judgment, not guilty. Thank you, Lord God. Take comfort in this, would you please? When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, your sins were forgiven. Now, what does that mean? No longer held against you, but lifted off of you and thrown away into the deepest of the seas. It's separated from you, as the word says, from far as the east is from the west. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has set you free. Does that sound familiar? He said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. As believers in Christ, there's not even the tiniest speck, dear friend, there's not even the tiniest speck of condemnation left on us and in us. God has declared us not guilty. When God looks at me, He doesn't see that long list of sin. Instead, His decree is, I have already ruled on the life of Gary Ladd through my Son, Christ Jesus. Not guilty. He's forgiven. Not condemned. Bring him to life. Still no dancing. I don't think we realize how much we've been forgiven. I don't think we realize how much God has loved us. Prior to coming to Jesus Christ, we had no hope of salvation. Let me tell you just how much hope you had. None. No hope of salvation. No hope of heaven. Before surrendering to Jesus Christ, we were hopelessly lost. Locked away in Satan's prison, bound by our sins, guilty before God, sinners without hope. But the doctor walked into the room and said, "You've got cancer, but I know the cure." And the cure, dear friend, from the righteous judge of the universe, He gave us grace. God's grace. Even in the detestable state of our sin and rebellion to God, God showed us immeasurable grace. Do you recall a man named Saul? Anybody? Saul of Tarsus. Do you remember what Saul did for a living? Persecuted those who believed in Jesus Christ. Killed and stoned those who believed in Jesus Christ. And this man, the Apostle Paul, who once hated God and persecuted his children, after his conversion to Christ, Paul himself, who became Paul, God changed his name to Paul, he wrote to his young man he was mentoring named Timothy, and he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, he said this, "Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent transgressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and the love which are found in Jesus Christ." Do you know who Paul was before he came to Christ? Before Paul met Jesus, he was the Hitler of his day. He was the Osama bin Laden of his day. His goal was to completely eradicate Christianity from this earth. And then looking back on at his former life, Paul went in to say in verses 15 through 16, it's recorded, he said, "Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." What is he saying there? I was the head of all sinners. I was the worst of them all. "However," he said, "for this reason I obtained mercy, so that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." Folks, the chief of sinners found immeasurable grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the meaning and the reality of grace? What is grace? I've heard it explained and I've shared it with you before in an acrostic. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Folks, if you have one iota's understanding that you will inherit grace, that you will inherit God's riches, that you will inherit God's heaven, that you will inherit God's forgiveness, that you will get the blessings from God. It is only because of the price that was paid by Christ Jesus. Jesus took all of my guilt. Jesus took all of my shame. Jesus took all of my condemnation. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But he, Christ Jesus, has taken upon himself the iniquity of us all. Jesus took my sin. Jesus took my penalty. Jesus took my condemnation. He paid the penalty for my sin when he was nailed on that cross and crucified at Calvary. And folks, he did the same for you, each and every one of you. You want to hear something crazy? Some people think somehow that the price paid by the Son of Almighty God to take all the sin on him, to be persecuted, to be beaten, to be crucified, to be shamed. And they think that all that was put on Jesus and the price that he paid was insufficient for them. They think they have some ludicrous idea that they have to add to the work of Jesus for them to be saved. Nowhere in the Word does it say this. They think that on top of the perfect work of Jesus Christ, what Jesus did on the cross, that they have to add their works in order to be saved. Now, I'm not saying that our works don't praise God. They do. I'm not saying that our works don't show people that we are saved. They do. I'm not saying that our works are not blessed of God. They are. What I'm saying is they are not required for your salvation. They are required if you love the Lord. Amen. But they are not required for your salvation. I want to hear you. I want you to hear something. Never forget this. God's grace is enough. You are not saved by the sweat of your works. You are saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, one of my favorite verses, if it's not yours. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We were guilty. We were condemned, but Christ Jesus took on himself all of our sin, and shame was taken from us, and he showered us with unfathomable grace. You know what else is crazy? We just talked about some folks who don't believe that Jesus was able to pay for everything. But there's something else. There's some people who have received the payment that Christ made for them. They have accepted him as Lord and Savior. They received his forgiveness. They have been cleansed of their sin. And yet they still refuse to receive the peace and the blessing that comes from Christ's payment. Isn't that crazy? Satan loves that ploy. He loves to see us refuse to give up our guilt so that we can live in defeat instead of in victory. Let's look again at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You remember Romans chapter 8, verse 1? That verse said this. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Does it end there? No. What is the last phrase of that verse? There is therefore now no condemnation for who? Those who are in Christ Jesus. Make no mistake, dear friend. There is no condemnation for who? for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you again, make no mistake on the other part. If you do not know Christ, if you are not in Christ Jesus, there is an eternity of condemnation waiting for you. You need to receive His grace. You need to receive His love. You need to become a sold-out follower of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. But for believers, for those who have repented of sin, for those who have received Jesus Christ, the good news is this. Jesus Christ has ruled for you. Not guilty. Not guilty. Can I ask you a question? How many of your sins did Jesus pay for on the cross? Oh, you know, aren't you glad we didn't have to count? Toes or stars? How many of your sins did Jesus pay for on the cross? One more time. Then, dear friends, let me ask you, why in the world would you let Satan hold even one of them over your head? Confess it? Yes. Repent of it? Yes. And receive God's forgiveness and God's cleansing. Do not let Satan lie to you and keep you in guilt and turmoil and shame and to live a defeated life when God says you have been cleansed. Now walk with me. Walk for me. Accept God's forgiveness and live in God's power and God's blessing. Amen. Pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for these, my friends. Like John said, Lord, oh, my little children, my little born again ones, Lord, we come before you. And we ask you, Father, would you help us to receive the gift that you've given? God, in freedom, you gave us your Son. He paid for our debt on the cross. God, we need nothing else. And Lord, you have given us freedom from the guilt and shame that went with that. Would you help us, Lord, to take care of those sins? God, to confess it, to repent of it, to receive your cleansing. But then also, Father, to live in victory each and every day. To receive the joy of your salvation. God, help us to celebrate in life in Christ Jesus. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,